Welcome to the Supercoach Champions podcast with your hosts, Wilfred Z, Joe Fitz, and other Supercoach champions.
Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. It's Anzac Week, and what better way to embrace our history than by revisiting ours last week? We definitely didn't say sell Bostock or Captain Ponga, nor did we say Blaise Talangi was a must-have the week before that, and none of you can prove otherwise because we deleted the episodes. Here to explain that a game of two up isn't the number of fingers I stuck up at the bunker for denying Jamin Salmon a try on the weekend, it's Wilf.
Hey, Joe. Yep. We are here to talk about round eight, right? Nothing's happened so far this season, right?
It's just been horrific. is what's happened, you know, and I don't need to tell anyone out there who Captain Ponga or like us sold Bostock or, you know, I even held Marju through his suspension and all that different stuff, and now I've got to get rid of him too because he's bloody useless. Certainly without Ponga, it's all happening.
Yeah, let's just block it all off from our memories, but straight to the burning question for this round. Obviously, for 31% of super coaches, who do we replace Kalyn Ponga with? So obviously, if you've been hiding under a rock, Ponga is out long-term. They're saying, you know, months, not weeks. So for SC, he's an easy trade-out. Who are we bringing in?
it's an interesting one because, you know, you've got Origin not too far away. You've got to think about, you know, what's coming up with Dubai. And I think at this point when, you know, both you and I are doing pretty poorly, anyone else out there that's doing poorly wants to catch up spots. So just going with the chalk option is something that I certainly don't necessarily want to do. So I'm going to look at ownership percentages as a big one as well. But you've got some ideas in front of you there.
Yeah, look, I think it's no secret. Reece Walsh is probably the most obvious replacement. I think a lot of super coaches are going with the, like, they're not overthinking it, right? Already 10% of trades right now, like over 10,000 Ponga to Walsh is the trade that's happening, which, again, I get it. There's a couple going from Ponga to Turbo as well, but Turbo's already quite highly owned, so I think that's part of the thinking. And then you've got some people going Ponga to Chans and also Ponga to Dylan Edwards. So for me, I think there's two ways I'm going about this. One, I really like Scott Drinkwater, just not this week. So the Cowboys against the Panthers, just I'm staying well away from that. But after this week, the draw for the Cowboys, Dolphins, Titans, Rabbitohs, and the Tigers. And then if he doesn't make Origin.
And Roosters for Origin.
Yeah, that's right. If he doesn't make Origin, then he's got probably, you know, a Tedesco-less Roosters outfit in round 13. So that's a really, really nice run. And yeah, so Drinky, it's just a not a this week trade. So I guess one option is you just go through dual positions, you know, turn Ponga into like a premium center wing. Or if you've got the right duels, Ponga to Cleary is something that could easily happen if you've got Drew Hutchison, the gun that he is, hiding in your halfback spot.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of us do have a lot of cash in the bank. You know, I do have Marshu as well. So, you know, looking to bring Cleary in this week. But I might hold Ponga for a week and move him on to Drinky next week and do something with Marju this week. So a lot of this stuff is team dependent, but you're on the Pappenhausen train.
Yeah, I've talked about the Storm draw for a while, but, you know, this week the Rabbitohs, and one thing we worked out last week was up until round six, the Rabbitohs were in like the bottom four for points conceded to opposition fullbacks, so a targeted matchup. Then after that, they get the Titans, who would, you know, fellow bottom four targets for the opposition fullbacks. So lots of points on offer potentially for Pappenhausen. And then you've got the Sharks, and then it's the Eels and Seagulls after that. So those three, like, they're not super tough. You know, those three aren't elite defenses at the moment. And arguably the Eels could be, you know, far from elite, given what we saw from the Dolphins last week. So I do like Pappenhausen. He's a little bit more expensive than Walsh. Like, I think they're both sub 700K. I think maybe 50, 60 grand between them. But yeah, coupled with an article came out today talking about how he's really closest to his top speed that he's been since the first major injury he's had, right? So I think they tracked him at 96% of his maximum speed since 3 years ago, basically. So I have a feeling Pappenhausen could explode.
This point of the year, that is not insignificant. So, yeah, really interesting. I do feel it might be a little bit of a pivot point in the season, choosing which fullback you're going to go with. If you don't have Tommy Turbo, get him in. It'll be very interesting over the next few weeks because I think we'll start to see some teams kind of, you know, start to separate.
What happened?
He's dropped the ball, guys.
Let's review the round.
All right, so the green arrows are steady for both of us. I scored 1,918, so steadily climbing. I'm now at 45,000 overall. How about yourself?
Oh, mate, I think I may have nabbed you a couple of weeks running, but you got me this week, 1045, languishing back at 58K. So, yeah, they are green arrows, but they're not huge green arrows and, yeah, happening pretty, pretty slowly.
Yeah, but look, as you know, to be cliched, it is a marathon, not a sprint. I have almost halved my rank from the trough that it was in round three at roughly 83,000. So getting closer to, you know, somewhat, it's not even respectable. Getting somewhat to not as embarrassing is basically where I'd class that one there.
Just getting there, yeah. I'm just ahead of my round one ranking. So it wasn't that I started that badly. I mean, obviously I started 59K, but it got worse from there for a while. So, yeah, I'm hoping the marathon continues.
Thankfully, there are some champs doing a lot better. We got to shout out Alex, the coach of Rugby League Realm. Our $500 champs only bonus leader. He was 29th last week, all the way up to 9th. So top 10 at this stage of the season is great. Reminds me of 2016 when I think it's this round where I jumped from, it was like 8th or 7th to 1st. So Alex, you got to do it. All right, get to 1st this week. Two other champs in the top 100 as well. So a couple of champs doing far better than us. And the champs leagues are slowly climbing and it was a rough start for a lot of us, but I had a glance down. I mean, we've got like maybe six leagues roughly in the top 30 or 40 now, considering we've only, you know, got about 8 or 9 leagues all up, I think, from memory. It's certainly not a bad showing. And the fourth league overall for real teams, real leagues, 20-team leagues, is the SC Champs Tragics, which, again, still has us two holding them back from being first. But we're trying to get them. All right, that's enough of that. Let's jump over to the news for the week. All right, just briefly, we'll highlight, obviously, you know, you alluded to it being Anzac Day this week. It is the Anzac round. So changing it up, obviously, on the Thursday, Anzac Day itself, we've got 3 games of footy, which is great. We've got 1 game on Friday evening, 2 games on Saturday, and 2 for Sunday. So I know sometimes we're creatures of habit. I'm very much in the mold of I don't really look at my team until, you know, later Thursday afternoon in terms of final decisions. So definitely need to change up that schedule this week.
Yeah, interesting slate of games, and yeah, it does creep up on you fairly quickly, as it might with, you know, some of the players playing on Thursday. 3 games, 6 teams. We'll have to see kind of how that goes. Thursday day games are particularly common, but it's probably the one on Friday that's going to do me, and I'm used to kind of sitting down and watching my 2 games of footy on a Friday night, being a creature of habit like you. So yeah, always an interesting round, Anzac round.
And the other news, I guess, we should chat about, it's not hugely Supercoach relevant, but look, I think we have to acknowledge Dale Finucane debuted as a Bulldog, so obviously fond memories of Dale back then, right?
Bulldogs Junior. It was right as I was starting to play Supercoach that I think I maybe had him in my side for his rookie year, and then Melbourne poached him, and obviously spent a lot of years at the Storm very successfully and latterly at the Sharks. So, yeah, just all heart, accumulation of injuries and obviously those concussions. It's probably doing the right thing for his family, but, just a great kind of clubman and from all reports, a great bloke.
Yeah, I think it's easy to forget how good he was when you've been thinking about the last few seasons where he has been, you know, hardly on the field, and when he's on the field, not really making much of an impact. But yeah, at his best, obviously contributed to premiership winning teams at the Storm. So yeah, obviously wanted to recognize Dale Finucane a little bit there. Let's jump to the injuries. Obviously, Kalyn Ponga, as we had discussed, you know, Liz Frank injury. I'm not sure if he's had surgery yet or it's imminent, but he's gone for quite a while. So we've seen David Armstrong be named as his replacement, but I'm hearing that prior to an injury to Fletcher Sharp. So Sharp is actually the first choice, first drop fullback. He's been playing fullback ahead of Armstrong in reserve grade. And he's like, he's got a hammy injury. He's only 1 or 2 weeks away. So it's just something to monitor. I don't think Armstrong, you know, unless he has an absolute blinder these first couple of games where he gets that first shot, he may not be there. So don't go early is probably the main message there for Armstrong if you're considering bringing him in for your super coach.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think, I just think Ponga out of that side for the Knights is just going to be absolutely huge. Again, not just for the Marshu owners, but, you know, even the kind of edge players and some of the players that we do have, I think just across the board, we're downgrading the super coach potential for just about every Newcastle player. So it is a worry.
So, because you said you're pretty much getting, you're planning to jettison from the Marshu train. Like, just no Ponga, is that significant for you, yeah, right? It sounds like it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was already bad enough that he you know, I held through suspension. He came back on the right wing, not the left wing, and he's done nothing those 2 weeks that he's come down. So, yeah, he's dropped 170K already, and he's got a triple-figure break even, I think 122 this week. So
I think he's I think it's a wrist injury that he came back from, right? Not suspension. I think that's why his...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Sorry.
His tackle bus seemed
down. It was Dom Young that was suspended in another one of my mishaps. Yeah. Yes, of course, around about the same time. No, it was the wrist injury. Yeah. So, yeah, look, I think I kind of held Marju as a bit of a pod play because I knew most owners who had him would have gotten off him. It hasn't paid off. So, yeah, Marju's a definite goner this week before he hemorrhages even more cash.
I wonder if Dane Gagai might need a little bit of consideration because he appears to be the backup kicker when Ponga's off the field. So Gagai, you know, averaged 72 last year with basically heaps and heaps of base and base attack, not that many attacking stats. And I know as you say, with no Ponga there, the likelihood of attacking stats will drop. The Gagai's still hitting in the 60s. I think he's only got one try assist or one major attacking stat so far this year. Still hitting 60, and now he might pick up goal kicking. It may only be like 4 points a week, but you know there could be some growth there, and you know, I can only see him getting more and more involved, I guess, the senior guy there. So
yeah, not that I'm suggesting him as an option, but I'd find it hard to think that Jackson Hastings wouldn't kick. You know, I think he was an 80% kicker way back when at the Roosters when he was kicking. So
I expected that too, but Gagai kicked ahead of Hastings when Ponga went down the first time. So that's the only reason I was curious as to why Gagai was kicking, and he seems to be the backup there. So not suggesting you got to jump on, but just something to monitor perhaps, because he's obviously, he was so good last year, and you know, even his work rate so far this year has been great. Onto another high work rate player, it's Clint Gutherson. You know, they came out in this week that he's been, you know, just managing it seems like an ongoing knee issue that's just going to be there indefinitely for him. Like, he's having fluid drained from his knee and stuff like that, which doesn't sound great. There's been some chat that apparently he may move to 5'8 at some point, and they might actually trial Blaise Talangi at fullback. Obviously, Talangi named outside of the 17 this week, so... Yeah, I don't know if that's something that will come to fruition. Brad Arthur was the one actually suggested that rotation might happen at some point, but very vaguely and no timeframes or anything like that. But I think, you know, that rules out Gutho as an option for Supercoach full stop, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. And look, avoid Eels if you can. Arthur's, we've seen it before in years gone by when he hits panic mode. Who knows what's going on with his 17, not just his forward rotations, but, you know, his back line swaps around. And we've seen that in recent weeks. And, you know, unless they get up this week and start to kind of stabilize things, I think it might get worse.
Yeah, and obviously Brad Arthur's already trying different stuff. You know, Ethan Standard's getting the debut this week. Dejan Arce is in the mandatory 11-day stand down, I believe, but he's also named at number 20, so I'm really not sure what's going on with the Eels' team list there. So, yeah, a situation to perhaps monitor and probably stay away from if you can. The other major injury is Jamal Fogarty from the Raiders. He ruptured his bicep, and he was doing pretty well, honestly, for Supercoach as well as actually on the field. I think this is quite bad for the Raiders as a whole, and I have worries for a lot of the Raiders cheapies. You know, we all have Strange and Schiller and guys like that. Yeah, I mean, are you getting off any of these guys straight away or?
Well, Schiller's break-even starting to get up there again. But, yeah, I mean, it just shifts them, you know, one step closer to an exit because I don't think any of them are necessarily keepers. And, you know, I just think, as you mentioned, Camper in general, I was at the game. It was bloody miserable on the weekend, you know, with the rain being what it was. And it almost stopped being a game when Fogarty went off. You could just see, you know, the kind of will to compete kind of exit a lot of the Canberra players. So, yeah, I do think he is that kind of inspirational leader that lifts them all, and it does downgrade them, yeah, not significantly, but a decent amount.
And so they have named Kao Weeks, preseason darling, as the replacement. He's obviously not played any games yet, and I think, what, 273,000 roughly, fullback and 5/8 dual position. So I guess at some point, if he does hold down that spot long term, then he could be a potential downgrade. But yeah, so certainly not a lot of excitement there from myself there. I think for Strange, you know, he's obviously becoming the primary half. He may goal kick, although I think Chevy Stewart might goal kick ahead of him. Still, it's one of those two, basically. And yeah, I'd want to see Strange play at seven. You know, he could probably get his hands on the ball a little bit more. Maybe he doesn't run as much, so it's a bit of a 50-50 as to whether this is good for a super coach or bad for a super coach, basically. So happy to give it a week to see how that goes. There's obviously some other injuries going on, but I think those are the major ones I'd like to discuss this week. Lastly, Judiciary, Jack Hetherington, shirt fronting Reed Marnie in the tunnel.
Jack Hetherington suspension brackets for being Jack Hetherington. And doing Jack Hetherington things. No surprise. We've seen it at every stop. Lots of, you know, he's a really good bloke, but when it comes to Jack Hetherington, it's just not the kind of stuff you can do, frankly, and good on Reed Marnie for standing up to him.
Yeah, so obviously he's copped a week off, which I guess all things considered pretty light there. But yeah, let's jump over to our cheapies for this week.
These aren't the cheapies you're looking for.
All right, so as always, green light, amber light, red light. I'll go as far as to say I don't think there's actually a green light this week that I really want to talk about. I don't know. Are there any cheapies that jump out to you that you feel like we have to discuss?
No, and I think history of this year has taught us that jumping early on anyone is just absolute folly. So I wouldn't be recommending that we get anyone in this week. Certainly no one with a huge negative break even is playing their third game. But look, you know, that doesn't mean there aren't cheapies around. Obviously, Sasungi was one of the few shining lights for Canberra on the weekend, and he's on an edge and has a negative 40 break even. But, you know, who knows what Ricky Stewart's going to do with that rotation there. For those of us that kept Joe Chan around, you know, he's still floating around the Melbourne side and is still a cheapie. And if he gets, you know, more meaningful minutes, then he could skyrocket. But Mamazoulis is back to being the bench utility with Damien Cook back. So he's a red light. And trying to think what other names that we could go through.
Yeah, not really many. I guess, you know, even someone like a Bronson Sherry who's on the bye this round, but like he's still got a negative 25 break even, but he's cracked 400K already. So not really interested there. We've got to keep Trey Fuller on the watch list. I know he's fullback only, but he's already got a negative 44 break even, another good game, and he could be, you know, like a 1 or 2 week swap. And I mean, 87 first up, looking pretty good. I know it was only the Eels up in Darwin, but yeah, just you got to watch it basically. And I will say with Sasungi, I'll put him in the amber light category just because he does have a negative 40 break even, is starting this week. The big question mark is, you know, his minutes. He played 80 last week, but he spent the second half mostly playing at 5/8. So in the previous round, he played roughly 49 minutes, only scored 20-ish. And I thought that's what he was going to do again, just share roughly 50-ish minutes on the edge. So that said, if you need a downgrade to free up cash, like he's 220K. He'll make a little bit and could be an easier trade out later. Just have low expectations because I think Whitehead's due back next week or two. which I think that will just cruel Sasangi's you know, cash generation. But it's a pretty disappointing week for cheapies. I know Chevy Stewart is on his third game, but he's got a break even of like 17 or 18 because, yeah, it just hasn't gone that well. Jai Gray still on the watch list here, playing his second game at fullback. But again, he's 5'8 only. It's just really tough positions to be able to load up on cheapies, basically. But yeah, I mean, maybe tomorrow Martin owners might look at Gray next week as a downgrade option once Martin's maxed out. So these are things that people can have a think about. But yeah, you're not moving on them this week. Last question on cheapies. If you missed Kale Uro last week, he's 327K now. Break even of 2, but with seemingly better job security and a really good base. Do you think it's too late to bring him in?
No, you know, I don't think so, especially in light of options like the Bronson Sherries that, you know, I think you truly have missed the boat on. He passes the eye test and he's doing it from a Supercoach perspective. So I think on form he's ahead of Talakai and I think he'll continue to do well. I don't think he's a keeper, but in the early 300s, you know, you can cash out at 500 and be happy with spending the two trades for that amount of dough.
And one last name to throw back onto the watch list. If you, like I did, traded out Jacob Gagai, he's back for a second game this round. Obviously, yeah, had a nice score in first week, but he could be a downgrade option next week if he holds that spot. So, yeah.
I can't even think about it. I'm not doing it well.
No, I don't think I would either, but look, just throwing it out there. All right, let's take a quick break. This episode is brought to you by our grooming champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that bush with Manscaped's lawnmower and watch your confidence skyrocket. Embrace this season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code CHAMPIONS for 20% off and free shipping. I know it's quite humorous to joke about the fact that we're talking about shaving our balls and all that type of stuff, but the fact is, it's part of grooming and it's part of being clean. I'll admit I never really understood it myself, but after using Manscaped, I can finally say my wife is very supportive of this. So look, introducing our champion for men's grooming here, the Lawnmower 5.0, the fifth generation trimmer, features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. If you hate making a mess, don't worry. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or even in the ocean if you have to. I love it just because it comes also with a compact case. I can take it with me everywhere I go. And to be clear, grooming doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Yeah, unfortunately, I can't grow a beard, but for some of you out there, you need one of these. So whether you're just looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. So get 20% off and free shipping using the code CHAMPIONS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code CHAMPIONS at manscaped.com.
How excited am I this week? On a scale of 1 to 10, about 12.5. There's a whole bunch of guys there that you cannot underestimate.
Oh, team lists. I have them somewhere here with me.
Okay, we flagged a lot of the major ins and outs from a team's perspective, but we still have plenty of interesting stuff to go through. We've got those three games on Thursday, kicking off with the Warriors and Titans. Not sure how to pronounce it. Is it Labin? Is on the edge for the Warriors. Dylan Walker comes back, and another name I can't pronounce is on that bench. Wilf, can you help me out?
I think it's Zion Mayu. I'm just guessing as well.
Neither options from a Supercoach perspective at the moment. More a concern on the Warriors' perspective of that Achilles injury that SJ is kind of managing. Will that affect his output? But is it going to matter? Because they're up against the hapless Titans. They are 1-17 again, but expect that Fifita will switch to start off the bench once again. Apart from the SJ news, any call-outs for this game?
The only thing is Capewell apparently has a throat injury. But it's no time frame as to when he'll be back. So I think like you don't need to move on Laban this round, but if he does have a starting spot with Cable out indefinitely or something like that, because, I mean, throat injuries are tough, right? So, yeah, just something to again, keep an eye on. His break-even is, like, you know, high-ish, but he's bottom dollar. if he's going to be a starting edge back role for the Warriors, you know, running off, potentially running off SJ, like I think you got to keep an eye on. And he's got wraps on him, and he hasn't looked too bad, just hasn't automatically translated to Supercoach so far.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think, look, let's talk about Dave Fifita. He's obviously an absolute stud for Supercoach. Coming off the bench, he's only played one game of actual starting, you know, starting on the edge and playing 80 minutes, but yet still Fifita is churning out massive numbers. He's lost a bit of coin, and his break-even's almost hit his price tag already at 87. He's only in 2% of teams, but, you know, it's Dave Fifita, like 57, 81, 71, 86. Obviously does have a try in there from last round, but, I mean, it's Dave Fifita. He's going to have a try in there every second or third game anyway. I don't know.
But I think, you know, from the real highs running off of four, and, you know, that try was a scoot out of dummy half, which he has obviously done before because he's bloody hard to stop from close to the line from dummy half. But I know that the Titans were a little bit better on the weekend, but, I mean, they've got wooden spoon written all over them, haven't they? So, you know, I really do have to wonder, even if it's kind of four into Fifita on that left edge, you know, 787K is a heck of a lot of money to spend, even with someone with Fifita's pedigree, because we've seen when things aren't quite right for Fifita, the scores aren't there either. So, you know, if you start getting more confidence in the Titans, then I'd probably want to back Fifita. But, yeah, I'm not looking at him at the moment. I understand he's a 2% owned super pod, but, yeah, he'll probably play Origin, and that's going to take it out of him as well. I just, yeah, it's not kind of a – if he was a rookie, I wouldn't have him as a green light.
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess it's hard coming to terms with playing, you know, someone in your team who's got an amber light on your bench because he's coming off the interchange and he's worth almost 800K. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow and to try roll that out every week. So, yeah, I tend to understand why people are staying away, but the numbers are fine, basically. So I guess that's why, you know, if you're a bit of a pod hunter, you like, you know, playing with fire, then trading in a bench David Fifita is probably not too far off.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he is coming off the bench and you'd assume he comes on fairly early, but, you know, he's played four games off the bench for 55 minutes, then he started, played 80, then he was down to 67, then down to 57. So, I mean, the minutes aren't trending positively. So, you know, expect that 60 minutes is probably the most you're going to get out of him moving forward.
Yeah, off the bench, it's hard to imagine he's coming any earlier than, you know, maybe the 15-minute mark at the very earliest, barring an injury. So, yeah, that said, Dave Fifita, 65 minutes, 60 minutes is still potentially a 70-plus average with ceiling because it's Dave Fifita.
Oh, I mean, we've all seen games where he's been on a ton 15 minutes into the game. So, yeah, I mean, if anyone can do it, he can. Next game, Dragons-Roosters. Dragons are 1-17, although Jack Bird is kind of floating around on the extended bench looking for a return, which I think would be good news for Lomax owners, putting Lomax back on the wing. Big news, though, for the Roosters, Dom Young is back, Sam Walker is back, and that pushes Suoli'i to centre and Watson into the utility role. Dragons doing surprisingly well, although Lomax is their kind of outstanding options, getting pretty pricey. What are you doing with anyone in this game?
Yeah, I guess, like I've been saying for weeks now, I wish I had, you know, gone on early on Zach Lomax, and I'd held off because of all that contract chat, right, with him potentially being released, yeah, and going to the Eels, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's obviously cost me because I don't have Lomax and I wish I did.
Well, I would have pulled the trigger. Yeah, I would have pulled the trigger last week, but then getting named in centre, I thought, oh, shit, you know, that's going to impact him as well. And it didn't, spoiler alert.
It did a little bit. That was his lowest base-and-base attack game for the season.
Still scored 82.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, that was because he scored the try, right? I think he had a try with a line break, you know, line break assist in there, something like that. And also, did he kick a field goal?
Yeah, two point field goal.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So I mean, he'll kick that field goal regardless of whether he's in the centers on the wing. So that's something you always get from him there. But yeah, like I wouldn't worry about it basically. So if you can get Lomax, it sounds like it seems more and more unlikely that he'll leave. I mean, he's leading the Dally M. Like, why would you leave the club that's set you up to potentially win a Dally M this season? It'd be wild if he did that.
I think Zach Lomax is a lot of things, but a Rhodes Scholar, he ain't. Storm Rabbitohs is the next game. Storm are 1-17 again, rounding into form. We went through some of the Rabbitohs changes. Cook is back. Jacob Gagai is back, and Jai Arrow, very welcome, but he's returning from the bench. Are you going to start to trust some of the Rabbitohs now that it seems that they've stemmed the bleeding, or are they still a stay away?
I think I can't trust them. I will just continue to watch them and see if they show more signs of life. But like Jai Gray, I do think if he's still there next round and Latrell's shifted to center instead, I do think I'd be tempted to jump on Gray there, especially because I've got Tamara Martin. This is obviously team dependent, so it suits my team to do that. If Martin peaks and then Gray is, you know, say he scores another 40, whatever, nice negative break even, bottom dollar, is playing fullback, and obviously he'll be able to pass to Latrell Mitchell, who can do stuff and get points from that. So that's if he keeps his spot. But outside of that, I'm really not too interested in anybody else here. It's just really tough to trust them, especially with, you know, JD continuing to, you know, sounds like he's just doing whatever he can to keep his job.
Yeah, that's never a good sign for anyone's job security, as we've seen. Sea Eagles, Eels, LIA comes into prop for Manly, pushing Lodge to the bench, and Nathan Brown joins the bench as well. You called out Sanders debuting at 6 for the Eels. Sivo's back on the wing. Maddo gets a start on the edge, and then pretty much a whole new bench. Hands to Tuolungi and Makatoa come on the bench, but importantly, as you mentioned, no Tuolungi.
Tuolungi and Tuolungi and who else do they have? Just it's confusing at times, doesn't it?
Did I stuff that up? No, I got that right. I read them all out. They're just all very similar.
Yeah, but look, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a late inclusion. Brad Arthur loves to switch it up, right? How many times has he named Hands and then dropped him from the final teams? Or not named Hands and then brought him in the final team? So I'm looking forward to getting rid of Joey Lussick sooner rather than later. I know he's been scoring well and making some cash, and I think I'll let him earn a little bit back, but it's just I'd rather not have to worry about, you know, do I have to keep an eye out for the Hands there or not and have to worry about that. For the Seagulls, obviously, I know some people jumped on Ruben Garrick last round thinking Titans cashing in on a great matchup. That turned out to be a mistake, right?
Yeah, Garrick's a funny one, isn't he? We kind of got over centre being kind of SC kryptonite for him with how he's done kind of last year and this year, but he seems a bit off the pace.
Yeah, look, I don't know if it was just that game or whatever, or if he was a little bit tentative after his concussion the week before. I know, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, he's still, his base and base attack definitely was a lot lower this game compared to all his other games, basically, so far. I mean, it works out well. Like, you just let him bleed cash and then maybe, you know, you could be bringing him at like around 500K. And I think like a goal-kicking center running off Tommy Turbo playing for, you know, quite a good Seagulls outfit, I think it's going to be hard to turn that down.
Yeah, I think so. He's got the pedigree. You know, we just have to see. I think, you know, we talk about, you know, Tommy Turbo as a must-have. I think he's been really hot and cold, and as he goes, sometimes Garrick goes, and Garrick just didn't get a lot of ball on the weekend. So, yeah, look, I think if he bottoms out, he's got enough pedigree that he's a pretty good purchase, particularly through the Origin period.
Yeah, well, he started off, you know, first four games before any injuries or anything like that. He averaged 79. He had, what, 2 tries, 1 try assist, a couple of line breaks and line break assist in there. So, I mean, running off Cherry Evans, you've got Olakuatu on the other side, and then Jason Saab, you know, fit again on his wing. It just seems like, you know, it's going to be easy pass to points, and then obviously he gets to convert the goals afterwards. So, yeah, obviously a lot of people will be bringing in Garrick soon, I think.
Yes, fair enough. Tigers-Bronx, the next game, Alemolo on the wing for the Tigers, and John Bateman moves to lock, and Sembola Fainu is on the edge, but I dare say that Bateman will rotate out to the edge once Bole comes on. So, yeah, I think Fainu might be a little bit of fool's gold there.
Thankfully, we get to watch a little bit because he's got that low 12 in his rolling average, and that's keeping his break even manageable. He's got like 37. But I mean, dual position, 355, 100. Like, if he's going to be a starting edge back rower, he's definitely been passing the eye test. Like, he looks really good and has had a big impact every time he's come on the field. So I'm not like scrubbing this as a potential for him to actually have, you know, if he's getting 50 minutes on an edge and he plays some minutes in the middle as well, because he's obviously, he was doing that role off the bench, right? Doing both edge and middle. I tend to think we've got to keep an eye on this, and I'd be really interested to see how this rotation shakes out. But yeah, I'm certainly not saying you got to jump on this week. I definitely would want to watch at least one week.
Another guy to watch on the edge is on the other side. He returns Brendan Piakoura, as does Adam Reynolds, as does Payne Haas. So, you know, some of the big boys coming back for the Broncos just in time for, you know, them to push up the table. Jesse Arthur's in at centre and Mariner at wing. How are you feeling about Jesse Arthur's at centre as an owner?
Yeah, probably not as great. Like, you know, he'll probably have a little bit of a higher floor, but I mean, I always wanted him just to be on the left wing because that's great upside for just scoring tries effectively. So for him, I'm probably going to try to sit him. He's got a highest break even, but I feel like once the Broncos hit full strength with Walsh back, Cobbo back, like Ezra and Cobbo are missing this round as well. So that left edge should be a little bit, might not get as much quality ball than normal. And I've been told that Ezra and Cobbo, like if this was a grand final, they'd be playing. So it's nothing too serious. I think it's just a week off, manage some niggles and stuff like that, that both are carrying for a couple of weeks now. I think, with these other guys back, they probably saw the opportunity just to sort out that injury side of things.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, Cowboys, Panthers, speaking of big names coming back, Nathan Cleary, and for my team, Taylan May, coming back, much needed for the Panthers. And Griffin Neame starts ahead of Tamalolo, who's on the bench, as is Thomas McKayley. We've talked about Drinkwater. Val Holmes, obviously, is killing it in the centre wings. We know who the big name Panthers are, but are any of them on your radar for the next few weeks?
Well, I think, is this going to be a situation of, you know, Nicho Hynes first game back from injury and hits 180? Like, it kind of smells like that, right, for Cleary. He's taken his time to return. All signs point to he's probably given him more than enough time to recover fully. So I tend to think if you've got him, like, you roll him out with confidence. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who will jump on straight up. This is in Townsville, so that might help the Cowboys, but gosh, they've been playing pretty poorly the last 2 weeks. But
just defensively, right?
Like, yeah.
They're just, the defense is awful, and that's only going to help your case to bring Cleary back in early.
Even attack was pretty poor last week. But yeah, absolutely. I definitely think Cleary first game back is a genuine option. I probably wouldn't captain him, but yeah, I'm tempted to bring him in as well. It's basically between Pappenhausen and Cleary for me to replace Ponga.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Dolphins Knights, the Finns are 1-17, bar Donoghue coming on the bench for O'Sullivan. Armstrong at 1 for the Knights, as you mentioned. Gagai returns, and Jed Cartwright is on the bench there. We talked about slight downgrades for the Knights with their talisman out. Does that impact when you want to sell Dylan Lucas, or is Kai Pierce Paul a keeper for the year, Wolf?
I mean, I think for me, Pierce Paul is he's in there until, like, I get concerned about his work rate or something like that. He's still scoring really well for Supercoach in terms of just his base and base attack. So he's showcased some of his own explosiveness to get some attacking stats in the last 2 weeks. So I'm pretty comfortable holding him at this stage. It would be nice, obviously, to have Ponga there, but I don't think it's a death sentence for his relevance straight away, just because he's quite good. His own game is quite suited to Supercoach.
Yep, very, very fair.
So, look, Max Plath, we both started with him. One of us still hasn't.
Yes, thank you.
And the other doesn't. Fresh off 94, but more importantly, he came back from his suspension. It looked like he had a point to prove and, scored really well. At 382,000, but he's got a very lowish break even of, negative 6. So there's cash to be made here, but there's an argument to suggest that Plath could actually be a very solid 45 to 50 performer and cover, we talked about how good the Dolphins' buyers are. Like, do you think there's an argument to bring him back in?
I absolutely do. I watched the Dolphins game through gritted teeth, having recently sold him, but he's got that valuable jewel, and he seems to have got Wayne Bennett's confidence and with that the minute. So I think he's got a Supercoach friendly game, and he's the, you know, he could easily be a fifth second rower. Probably wouldn't stash him at 5'8" with the situation at that position this year, but as a fifth or even sixth second row, you could definitely do a lot worse. And again, that is just a brilliant buy schedule, so he's going to be a really valuable number.
Yeah, I'm looking at this going, well, that buy schedule plus the dual position is going to be so invaluable over that period. So, yeah, quite keen. I'm, again, lucky enough to have held him. I can certainly understand people bringing him in this week, and I see a lot of people doing that trade as well. So, yeah, certainly not opposed to it either.
And we finish off the week with the Raiders Sharks. Okay, Weeks at 7 for the Raiders. We talked through that. Atkinson at 6 for the Sharks, with the news around Braden Trindle and Sione Katoa comes back onto the wing. I guess someone we haven't spoken about at the Raiders, his scores have started to kind of level out a fair bit, is Morgan Smithies. Is he a kind of pre-Origin 1 trade out, do you think? Is it time to move on?
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Because I'm benching him this week because I think the minutes are a little bit up and down. Having said that, 47 is really low. I'm not sure what that was because of. Like, I don't know if it was just, did he have a niggle that Sticky decided to keep him off for a bit longer, or I don't know. But
he did stay off for a long time. Obviously, he did come back and, you know, it was just a bog, you know, of a game by the time he came back. But, yeah, he was definitely off for a long time.
You think the bog would suit him, right, being from England and all, but... Look, I'm not going to panic. He's still got him very manageable. I mean, low break even, arguably, at 41. So I'm just going to bench him, just see if that was an aberration and he's going to go back to at least getting 60 to 80 minutes. If he gets, you know, towards the upper end, happy to hold him. But, yeah, if he starts bleeding coin, you know, we're not that close to the buyers that you can afford to hold him for 4 weeks and then let him lose all that cash. Different story for like round 11 or 12, and this is when it's happening. So I'm hopeful that we get one more big game and that'll stop his cash bleed. And yeah, I'll hold him till he covers around 13 and then probably ship him off after that.
Yeah. And a call out for Nico, I think 142 on the weekend. If you're not going to roll the dice on Cleary with the armband this week, I think Nico looks in form and you could do a lot worse than against the Raiders.
Yeah. And we probably should touch on, you know, Braden Trindle in a bit of hot water. He's been stood down by the club. He's, you know, there's still investigations going on and stuff like that, but he won't be playing for a little bit, I think it's safe to say. And we've got Atkinson. We've got Atkinson and potentially Cade Dykes, both promising options. It's just really tough, right? Both are pretty much bottom dollar, but Atkinson is fullback and halfback dual position, and Dykes is, I think, fullback only. And I mean, how do you store a cheapie there, right?
You don't.
Unless you've got a
massive break even. That's the answer, unfortunately. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the downside to it all.
Good stuff. Well, that's the teams for the week. Let's get to some group comp info before we get out of here.
Yeah, so look, spoiler alert. Right now, the leader of our champs only group, Alex, is also leading our group as well. So he's in line for $1,000 if he obviously finishes the season as our top ranked champ, but also our top ranked super coach in our unlimited group. So yeah, good luck, Alex. You're absolutely flying and you're making some really, really smart moves. So I mean, despite training at Bostock and someone else, like, he's still charging up the ranks. So yeah, good on him. And if you do come second, we've still got that SC Pro sub for next year, thanks to our friends at Rugby League Fantasy Pro. Check it out. It's an absolute cheat code. We say it every week, but it genuinely is. And I think if you checked it out and all the functions that it's got with it, you'll agree. So thanks again to Adrian and the team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity. So look, I thought, you know, with Jamin Salmon on the bye, it's probably an apt time to get a bit of an update on it. And look, to be honest, it's probably closer than we think right now, right? What do you think Arthurs is averaging?
And it would have been a hell of a lot closer if that try had been awarded. I jumped up like I was had pogo sticks for legs when I saw that he went over. But yeah, bloody bunker. Look, if Jesse Arthurs scored a try in every single game, he could still be averaging like 32. But I think it's a little bit higher than that. So I'm going to go early 40s for Arthurs.
Yeah, he's at 46.6, surprisingly. And that's like, he's actually, you talk about Salmon getting tries overturned or whatever, but Arthurs is, I mean, some of it's he's bombed it himself, but there's been a few tries that he definitely could have easily scored. Like, you know, we're talking millimeters in it. So it could be a 50-plus average, but look, it's still almost 10 more than Jamin Salmon right now. So look, maybe we can keep this going for a while longer.
I promise I'll wave the white flag if and when appropriate. But Salmon's just kind of plodding around. Let's make the end date of the bet Origin 1.
Oh, we did say season long, so you know maybe we can call it earlier than that. But yeah, look, you're telling me there's a chance, right? That's the way we're looking at it.
I'm holding out hope, mate.
That's good. And I think we've come to a punishment for the loser of that bet. So yeah, we'll obviously reveal more details when we get a chance.
Not looking forward to it if I turn out to be the loser.
Yeah, it's going to be good fun for everyone else, except for the loser of this bet. But anyway, thanks for listening,
which is
everyone.
Probably me. Thanks, everyone.
That confidence, got to love it. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys soon.